This is Mental Selling. This is the sales podcast for people that are dedicated to making a difference in customers' lives and have a purpose beyond just a paycheck. I'm your host, Will Milano. Let's get right into the show. Getting access to buyers is tough, maybe tougher than it's ever been. But are you making it easier on yourself or harder? Research shows there's a direct, clear correlation between a salesperson's ability to hit their targets and their prospecting success. Yet prospecting remains a challenge for the vast majority of salespeople. The increasingly competitive landscape, combined with limited time, requires sales teams to be laser-focused on prospecting strategies and tactics with the highest return on investment. And one of those high-return investments is getting referrals. Not once, but consistently. Salespeople that do fill their pipelines more predictably have far greater win rates and better overall performance. And the data around referrals is clear. They're the most underutilized source in prospecting, with only about 11% of salespeople regularly asking for referrals. This despite almost 90% of customers being willing to provide them. Studies consistently show that leveraging connections are, by far, the most effective way to generate new business. In fact, 73% of executives prefer to work with sales professionals referred by someone they know. Additionally, B2B referrals have a 70% higher conversion rate and a 69% faster close time. In short, customers found through mutual connections have a higher win rate, higher retention rate, and bring more value to your business. There's no one more qualified to talk about this than Joanne Black. She's America's leading authority on referral selling and the co-founder of No More Cold Calling. Joanne is a well-known speaker and author who's helped salespeople, sales teams, and business owners build their referral networks so they can quickly attract more business, decrease operating costs, and ace out the competition every time. Joanne, thank you so much for joining me today. I've been really looking forward to our discussion.
This is my favorite topic, Will, and I love the stats. Salespeople will agree with all of those.
I've wanted to talk to you for quite a while. I've been reading and following you online for years, and I think it's such a fit here because a lot of what we're going to talk about around prospecting is not just the process and skills aspect of it, but the mindset piece, which I think is what, in a lot of cases, holds salespeople back. The numbers that I shared, they're pretty overwhelming, and they're certainly no surprise to you. But here we are. To me, this topic of referrals is similar to the discussion that we have a lot around sales coaching. There's similar numbers, and companies and sales leaders, they know they should be doing more of it, and the data reveals how effective it is, and yet most companies, they're still not doing it consistently or just not doing it well. And I have to believe that, again, it's a mix of a skill issue. Yes, that plays a part, but it's more of a will or a mindset issue as well, isn't it?
It is. It's definitely a skill. You need a strategy. You need metrics. You need accountability. But there's a lot that gets in the way. And I call it the elephant in the room, and I call it out all the time now. This happened several years ago when a really seasoned sales guy said to me, Joanne, I'm not sure the reason. I'm just not comfortable asking for referrals. So I asked him why. This is the mindset piece. Oh, it feels pushy and aggressive, like the used car salesman. It'll change the relationship I have with people. It feels desperate. And the subtitle for that is, if I have to ask, it must mean I'm not doing so well. And the one that gets in the way all the time is, what if they say no? That would be terribly embarrassing. And that would mean they don't like me, they don't trust me. I mean, all kinds of things go through our heads. And so when I work with clients, that's probably the first thing we talk about, what gets in the way, because it's universal.
It can stem back to just like there any hesitance to make outbound calls or to ask for commitment on deals much further down the line. It can come back to, you refer to it, that sort of their view of selling itself. They feel like the used car salesman or something like that. And that's often the crux of what somebody has to get past. And that realization, as you were saying, of if you've really built solid, trusted relationship and you've delivered value to that person and you've helped them and their company move the needle significantly on whatever it is, like, why wouldn't you ask them? Why wouldn't you think that they'd be willing to help you?
Those reasons and a lot more. But what most salespeople say, because they're not comfortable asking, is, if you know anyone who could benefit from my services, please let them know. That gets them off the hook because they asked and, gee, it didn't work. So I'm done.
It puts the onus on the other person to do all the work for you.
Well, yes. And the fact that it's just so uncomfortable. We can then say, we asked, check it off our list. Didn't work. So I'm going to go back to what I was doing before. And it also goes to sales leaders, which I found they're very puzzled why their teams aren't asking for referrals. What they do is they tell their salespeople to go get referrals. And then why not? Much happens.
It's like anything else. When they tell a salesperson they should go make more calls and they just leave it at that, guess what? Most of the time it doesn't happen. That's a good segue into what we were going to talk about next, which is this idea that referral selling, it's not a one and done, or it shouldn't be a one and done, but it should be a system and something that's built into the fabric of the sales culture. And that's got to start with the sales leader. There's a big difference between just saying, hey, we're going to do a big push this month around getting a referral versus it being part of what you do as an ongoing way of working.
And what you said reminds me of a few years ago was I had a client site. And they were very puzzled why their people weren't getting referrals, because every salesperson had a sticky on their monitor that said, ask for referrals. I could tell them right then and there why they weren't getting them. It is a system. It's not one and done. And anything worth doing, you need a system. So the referral system is you need a strategy. I don't believe in long strategies. Just tell me, what is the outcome you want? How will you know this is successful for you? Then what are the metrics? The metrics for your salespeople, the metrics for your team. And then referral selling is a skill. A lot of people don't realize that it's a skill. And with any skill, it needs to be practiced and reinforced, and people need to be accountable for results. So unless they're willing to join the referral bandwagon and say, yes, this is going to be the way I work and I agree to be accountable, which means they have KPIs linked to referrals, because that's the only way it's going to work, then they shouldn't be involved unless they're willing to put that stake in the ground and commit.
But part of what you're alluding to is sales leaders need to be coaching around this. The coaching that they're giving reps needs to be around not only are you getting them and where does it stand around KPIs, but helping them peel back the layers on what might be holding them back, why they're hesitant. That's part of a good coaching conversation too.
Yeah, but in fact, that's not happening. So what I've learned over the years is, depending on the size of the team, if there's managers in between, I've created a whole management checklist for what they should do. And what I've learned is they don't make the time because they have so many other pressing issues. Every company, what I do now is I build in extra time for me to coach the team and each individual. In fact, I was talking to one prospect and I said, I build in 4 months. One of the people said, oh, it should be 6 months. The other person said, to be a year. And we all laughed, but this is it. When are they going to take over? The sales leader, with all his or her responsibilities, not going to do it. And the management team, not going to do it until a certain point. And the point is, with the coaching, with the reinforcement, with the accountability, that referrals will become the way they work. And so all they'll need from that point on is to see the stats, and the sales leader will see them.
When you and I spoke previously, I thought one of the things that you said that really stood out was that part of the lesson here around referrals is that it can take 8, 12, 15 touches to reach a prospect. But the way you framed it is, well, a referral introduction lowers that to one touch. If you think of it and reframe it that way, then again, it's nothing but a winning proposition.
In addition to that, the conversion rate is huge. You mentioned that it's typically 70% plus, 50% lowest. But in addition, the leads that are in the pipe are now qualified because they've had the conversation. And that's the biggest issue, is how do you gain access to your buyer? And I read this all the time. There's all these articles about gaining access. It's the easiest thing in the world when you get an introduction. In fact, I got an introduction to the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. I was just blown away. It was a colleague of mine. He was the head of worldwide sales for a good-sized company. And it turned out that his company was a client of the person he introduced me to. And he told me everything. I said, what's this person like? Gives me the whole rundown. And then at one point he said, he used to be a bouncer. He's a big guy. And sometimes you get into a conversation and things like that come up. It didn't in this conversation, but in others, similar things have happened. So you get the full picture and you know who you're going to be talking to. And they know who they're going to be talking to. In my case, they're going to be talking to me. Other cases, they'll be talking to a salesperson.
And their wall is going to be up less in talking to you because they have trust in the person that's introduced them to you.
That's exactly what happens. I'm glad you mentioned that because there is a transfer of trust. When somebody, your prospect knows and trusts, introduces you, but they always take the meeting because they know the business reason for the meeting. That's what the referral source does. But in addition, that trust transfers to me or to whoever the salesperson is.
So I want to talk a bit about the how-tos of this, because like you said, there's doing it just to check a box and saying, oh, if there's anybody that would be interested, let me know, just to be able to say that they did it. But there's the right way to do it. And I've got to also think that part of it today, there's so much sales enablement technology and social media access through LinkedIn, for example, that salespeople are already tapped into and using. But then as a result, they're still missing quota and you can't automate these new relationships. That should be the wake-up call to them. You can't automate the relationship. And at the same time, using the LinkedIn example, it's so easy to go beyond just let me know if there's somebody I should talk to, lasering in on people that you're mutually connected to, and then going to those people and saying, hey, could you give me an introduction to John or Mary or whoever it might be? What's the right path ahead for somebody that wants to learn how to do this right?
I want to get first to your LinkedIn example that I say no one should ever ask for a referral on LinkedIn or through email. And I'll tell you the reasons. You can write to the person on LinkedIn and say, I see you're connected to Will. How well do you know him? And then we have that conversation and decide if there's something there. But you have to have a conversation. Somebody wrote to me on LinkedIn and said, I see you're connected to whoever. And I'd appreciate it if you'd introduce me. Well, here's the thing. I don't know who that person on LinkedIn is. We're somehow connected, so there's no way I'm going to introduce someone I don't know to someone I know very well. I need to be sure of the person that I can trust this person to take care of my connection as I would. It's because it's on me then. What if I refer someone I don't know and he messes up and he's aggressive, etc.? I don't know. So no, I have to know the person really well in order to introduce them. And by the way, definition of a referral is you get an introduction.
Using the LinkedIn example, of course, and I would be the same way. I wouldn't refer somebody that I didn't know to somebody that I do. But if there is that sort of two-sided connection where you do know both people well, you can at least use LinkedIn as the tool to identify, hey, this is the person I'd like to get introduced to, right? And to your point, don't do it by email. Don't do it through a LinkedIn message. But you can at least make that identification point to have that conversation.
You have to have a conversation. Why? Because this person knows the one you want to meet. So you need to get all the skinny, everything. What's this person like? Why do you think she'd want to meet me? What's going on in the company? Get as much intel as you can, because on LinkedIn, you're only going to find what people choose to put there. There's a lot we don't know, but the person making the introduction knows.
The details and the nuances behind the person's personality and their personal history and sort of anything like that around their career progression, that's not going to be front and center on their LinkedIn profile. So that's a good reason why it's got to be a conversation, not just an email exchange, if you will. Let's talk about the role of sales leaders in setting the tone and creating this accountability and setting the KPIs and any other leading indicators around referrals. How do they get started, for lack of a better term? And how do you suggest to sales leaders that they measure success?
First, a sales leader needs to put a stake in the ground and say, referrals are going to be our number one outbound prospecting approach versus those referrals that come in. So a client may call and bring us in to do more, or they tell someone else to contact us. We have no control over those. And good salespeople don't sit back and wait. We don't know when those are going to happen. The system needs to be a proactive ask. And the sales leader believes that and shares with his team, this is the way we're going to be working. I'm going to provide you with the skills, with the reinforcement, with the coaching, with everything you need. And then it's up to you to use the system to get introductions to the right people.
Good salespeople, they don't wait for things to come to them, because like you said, people that reach out to you, you don't have control over the timing, the size of the opportunity, that sort of thing. What you control is what you're doing from an outbound standpoint if you're a salesperson. Is it the case that salespeople think of referrals as something separate from outbound prospecting versus the way you talk about it and the way we talked about it when we teed up the show a few minutes ago, was that referrals is the most effective aspect of prospecting? Do some salespeople think that referrals and prospecting are two different things?
They may think it's aside from that. I don't know. But I've had people reach out to me, and these were SDRs, young, like 22, and said, I want to learn how to ask for referrals. And I thought, that's interesting. They said, but I don't know anybody. I said, well, you do. You know a lot of people. You have a lot of friends from college, whatever, where you used to work. You know a lot of people. But they have to learn how to ask. I typically don't work with SDRs because they're more transactional. I work with AEs. But I thought that perspective was really interesting, that they were that curious.
When we talked earlier about creating a referrals culture in the organization, can you talk more about the mindset that's required? How have you tended to help sales teams and sales leaders get over the psychological barriers that you were talking about earlier, the risk of damaging the relationship, overestimating the relationship, you don't want to come across as needy? How do people get past that?
Because I take them through a process where they learn how to ask and they get comfortable with it. They practice. Like with any skill, you have to practice. Somebody want to be a runner, you don't just walk out of your house in the morning and run a marathon. Take any skill, anything we do, it takes practice. And in the beginning, we're lousy at it. By gradually building those skills, practicing, getting reinforcement, all these people have coaches, that's how we get our craft. So it's stellar.
From your experience, what's the best way to communicate to the person you're asking for a referral, for lack of a better term, that you're going to make them look good and you're not going to put them in a bad spot, that you're going to treat the person you're asking to get introduced to? How do you sort of frame that up for the person that you're asking for the referral?
It doesn't happen. I think people, this is another mindset thing. If I ask, they're going to think I'm pushy or something like that. When you're introduced the right way, which is your referral source is the person who's introducing you, that person's going to tell your prospect about the problems you solve, because that is how we connect with people. Really, think about it. If a prospect doesn't have a problem that we can solve, that's not a prospect. And in my case, every company is getting all the qualified leads they want. If salespeople are getting every meeting with the right prospects, well, that's not my client, most likely. So I've heard people say what you said, and that has not been my experience. The prospect is glad to have the conversation. The salesperson must know how to have the conversation. It's focusing on the problem again, giving examples of how you've solved this problem with other clients.
I want to talk about what you've called, when we spoke earlier, the warm call fantasy. And you were saying that a call is either hot or cold. There's no such thing as a warm call or a warm email or warm social media prospecting, or even a warm knock on the door. Can you unpack that a bit? Because I thought that was a really interesting perspective when we were talking earlier.
I sure can. I've been talking about that for almost 30 years. So when anybody says, I'm going to get a warm referral, no, you get an introduction. So here's the thing. My point of view is, if the person doesn't know you and doesn't expect to hear from you, your outreach is ice cold. I don't care how many emails you send, and we know how many junk ones we get every single day. For me, it's 40 or 50. And then I put others in junk that just sneak in to my email. They don't know me. I don't expect to hear from them. Their outreach is ice cold. And there's numbers about that. So that, I think that's why sales leaders keep doing this transactional kind of selling, is because they can measure it. To me, it's absolutely absurd. And sorry, sales leaders, if I offended you, but this is not how to build your business, is by sending hundreds and thousands of emails and automating them and automating your LinkedIn messages. No. I think of it like this, Will. If you were invited to a party by someone you knew, or dinner, whatever, and the person answered the door, and you walked right in through the house to the backyard and never said anything. That's exactly what's happening on LinkedIn.
I've gotten several this week through LinkedIn that are just either they want to connect and they don't even include a message as to why they want to connect, or it just jumps right into the we, I, our, on and on. Do you want to meet? You don't know the person from a hole in the ground. It's infuriating. You've also said that referrals can be a source of competitive differentiation. Can you talk about that a bit?
When you get an introduction to the right prospect and you have that conversation, the trust is already built. And by the way, you learn things no one else learns. Some of the conversations I've had, I really didn't need to hear some of it, but you'll find out how decisions are made. You'll find out what's going on in the company. You'll find out who to watch out for. You'll find out who the influences are. You'll find out what the issues are, because this person trusts you and is going to tell you. It's an entirely different conversation. All these other salespeople who are knocking on doors, that still happens, I think, also sending these hundreds and hundreds of emails, hundreds and hundreds of LinkedIn requests, all through technology. You said it before. You cannot automate relationships. This is a person-to-person business. you're in while all these other people are knocking on doors, trying to get in. Now, I'll tell you the one time it didn't work for me. I actually had the conversation I needed to have, but then they came back and told me that one of their board members said they have to go with this other company. I have no control over that. Fine, go with the other company. But that's one in almost 30 years of referral selling.
I also want to dig a little bit deeper into something we talked earlier about, which is the difference between referrals and other sources of leads in building a stronger and more predictable pipeline. Now, you said earlier, you can't control the timing and the quality of inbound leads, and you can't certainly have a sales culture that waits around for them. The most effective prospecting approach is built on referrals. How do you otherwise treat referrals versus other types of leads that the organization will pursue?
I don't. My business is referral selling, and it has been. There's nothing that can compete with the power of referrals, including what you said, competitive differentiator, higher close rate. Also, they convert more quickly. There's no other strategy. Now, sometimes people get these words mixed up. Let's say they want a recommendation. That's what you get on LinkedIn. It's not a referral. Referral means you get an introduction. I could say that 25 times and still people forget.
Does a referral need to be with a C-suite executive, somebody really high up, or a referral lead to a good outcome for a salesperson when it's somebody that's lower level in the organization, maybe more of an influencer or maybe peripheral stakeholder, but isn't a referral to somebody like that can then help shepherd you along in the organization to others? That's still very valuable, isn't it? Because you talked earlier about the introduction to the CEO of that Fortune 500 company, which is great when you can get it, but it doesn't always have to be that.
Yes, you always go with a relationship. If you have a relationship with someone in the company, that's where you go, even if it's an area that you're not involved in. So for me, if I'm referred to somebody in IT, that really has nothing to do with what I'm doing, but I'm going to talk to that person because that person's going to tell me about the company, what goes on, what I should know, all of that. It's just brilliant the way it happens. Because the trust is there.
What's the difference between internal referrals, and I think you talked about that as within existing clients, and external referrals?
Existing and recent past clients are our best source of new business, but there's so many people we know. We belong to professional groups. We've worked in companies before. So many people we know who know us, like us, and trust us. All those people are there to ask. And some of the hesitation comes from what I said about being pushy. But I ask people to think of it this way. If someone you knew, you liked, you trusted, asked you to help them out, would you? The answer is always yes, but we don't think the opposite is true, Will.
And I thought the phrase that you used a little while ago, that transfer of trust, is a really great way to frame it, because when you get an introduction, that degree of trust that the person you're trying to get in front of has with the person that's introducing them does get transferred to you, to at least to a certain degree. Again, the sort of the wall, the barrier is broken down to some extent. Once you actually get that initial conversation with the person you've been referred to, what else do you see as the best ways to establish trust and credibility with that person beyond the referral?
When somebody says, what do you do? How you can help me? Oh, we did this and we did that and we did the other thing. And here's the fact, no one cares about us. They only care about what we do for them. And so that's why, as a salesperson, we need to focus on their problem, have them tell us the problem, give them some tips, help them any way we can. And if they're not the right person, they will introduce us to the person we want to meet. But please don't go in and talk about yourselves. Go in to have a conversation with your prospect.
Which, again, that never-ending talking about ourselves, it's one of the major problems with outbound cold emails and automated emails. They're just also poorly worded and constructed because they're doing nothing but talking about yourself and how great you are. And because you don't have that relationship, you can't talk about their problems and challenges and things like that yet. It's got to be part of why those cold emails run into such a brick wall.
Every day, the ones that go into junk, I'm still putting into junk from my inbox. And I do read the first line because it gives me an opportunity to chuckle. These people really think they know? Because they say, oh, I know, but no more cold calling. You can use fill in the blank. Or I'm from such and such a company. They don't know.
Is there any other final advice that you would give to a salesperson to sort of help them get over the hump and start bringing this into their daily, weekly, monthly routine and trying to make it a part of who they are as a salesperson? Anything else that you'd advise?
The sales leader has to say, this is what we're going to do, because if he or she doesn't, then we're going to still have to send those hundreds of emails every day, all the automated stuff. Oh, and then on our first phone call, we all talk about ourselves. This is like anything worth doing. It needs to be driven from the top, whether it's the CEO or the sales leader. And I'm working with a client now. We're pretty about a third of the way through the process because we're working with different teams, different sales teams, and they are already, within 6 weeks, seeing results because we're tracking. They've been introduced, and they've identified an opportunity, and they put a number next to it, a big number. So that's what's important, to learn the process, to have it reinforced and coached and have them accountable through their KPIs. That's the only way it's going to work.
And there's also a, I'll call it peripheral effect, but an effect on your brand reputation. Getting referrals conveys a much more positive message about your organization's brand, your products, your personal brand, versus the negative brand impression that all of those cold, boring, quested emails that you're sending out and barraging people with, that sort of thing, that can do some damage to your brand reputation that's pretty hard to undo. I think that's another aspect of this, is think about the impact that a referral strategy and culture can have on elevating your brand in the marketplace more than anything. Joanne, I want to thank you so much again for taking time out of your busy schedule to join me today. This has been a really relevant topic and one that's probably been overdue for us to talk about on this show, because again, it's a mix of everything else in sales. It's a mix of that skill set and mindset piece and something that's going to be part of the culture and driven by the sales leaders. So thank you for sharing all this with us today.
Yes, and I'd like to suggest one thing. If you want a barometer of where you are with referral selling, please go to my website, nomorecoldcalling.com. Sign up. You can always unsubscribe. But when you sign up, you will get access to my 14 yes-no question referral IQ quiz. And you'll see where you do really well and where you don't.
We'll have a link to that in the show notes here. So from wherever you're listening, you can access that in the description here. So that's really good advice and a really nice offer, Joanne. Thank you. For listeners, thank you as always for joining us. You can find and follow Joanne Black as well as on Twitter or X at Referral Sales. She posts a lot of related content and helpful advice around a lot of the things that we were talking about today. Again, Joanne's website is nomorecoldcalling.com. And thank you for joining us from wherever and whenever you might be listening. We always appreciate all of you taking time out of your schedules to listen to the show. Please be sure to leave us a comment or a rating or review and tell others about the show as well. We really appreciate it. And also be sure to scroll back and listen to any previous episodes that you might have missed. So thanks for joining us today, and until next time. Thank you for listening, and I really hope you've enjoyed this episode of Mental Selling. Please make sure that you're subscribed, and as always, leave us a comment or a rating. Share it with your networks. You'll get more content like this on our website at integritysolutions.com. Until next time, I'm Will Milano with Integrity Solutions. Thanks very much again for being with us.